Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Lars, good to see you out with us. We missed you this morning. As I've been doing the last several Sunday evenings, I've been talking about different characters in the Bible to learn some lessons from some of the biblical characters. This evening, I'd like for us to consider Joshua, learn a few lessons from him. And I want to start by reading in Joshua chapter 10. Most of our text will come from the first chapter, but I want to read this section first. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at that time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. There are some stories recorded that are just, to me, so amazing. What God has done for men, what God has done for his people, and the men that were involved in this. That God made the sun stand still so Joshua could complete this battle. And these men that he took, these five men, and hanged them on five trees for everybody to see. And again, we know when the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, the people knew who they were and their hearts melted because they knew what God had done when he came out of Egypt, when he destroyed Pharaoh's army, and when he destroyed the kings that they came up against when they first came in. So what is it about Joshua that gave him the strength, the courage, to be the kind of man that he was? What is it that we can learn from him? Do you think he was just born that way? I don't think so. So many of the traits that we develop them because of the things that we go through. And we ask God to give us strength. And Joshua, I'm sure he had to go through a lot to develop the courage that he did. So when we look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance for the land, which I swore to the fathers to give them. Verse 7, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Drop down to verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And verse 18. Whosoever be he that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto your words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. My opinion, I think because of the number of times that it's repeated, to have courage, we understand that we need to be exhorted, but there's reasons why we can have courage. And Joshua was told over and over to have courage. And sometimes we see so many people, they just want to throw up their hands. I can't do this. So somebody tries to do something and somebody shouts them down, tells them you can't do that. And we have a lot of people, when I was growing up, we would just say they were spineless or they don't have a backbone. But as God's people, we need to have a backbone. We need to have courage. And our courage comes from God. And when we have this courage and we do what God tells us to do, our way is going to prosper. That doesn't mean we're going to get rich and have lots of stuff, but our way is going to prosper. In verse 7, only be thou strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it. Verse 13, remember the word which the Lord, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Verse 18, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, has he given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, that he shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Our way is going to prosper. God is going to give us what we need, but we have to have courage to take it and lay hold of it. You think about heaven. We need to have courage to get to heaven. We need to do things here on this earth and not be cowardly. The book of Revelation says that one of the people that's not going to enter into heaven is going to be the cowards. We cannot be cowardly. We've got to be courageous. We learned from Joshua some lessons about that. So in chapter 1, the first 9 verses after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. What was Joshua thinking? Well, who's going to be next in charge? Whenever someone dies, someone's going to have to step up and fill in their shoes to keep leading. All of us, I shouldn't say all of us, a lot of us would rather sit back and let somebody else do it. But friends, somebody else isn't going to be here someday. Then it's going to be our turn. It's going to be our turn to step up and fill in. God's work did not end with Moses. He commissioned Joshua. So just because one of us dies, just because something happens to one of us, the Lord's work does not come to a standstill. It keeps on going. God's work did not end with Christ. He commissioned us. And we looked at that this morning, where we are representatives. We are sent into the world to continue the work that Christ started. And for us to do that, we need strength. We need courage today. So one of the lessons we learned from Joshua is that our duty unto God is crystal clear. We shouldn't have to wonder what it is. It's crystal clear. In verse 2, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And you stop and think about this for a minute. It would have taken courage to go over the Jordan. Because as we've looked so many times on the slides, the Jordan was a small river except during the flood season. And we've seen modern days where they have built dams to divert the floods from all that water that comes through there. And they didn't cross over the Jordan on dry land like they did crossing the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt. It was during the flood season, and they had to step down into the river before the Lord stopped the water. But go over the Jordan, all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And we see, too, when God gives us something, a lot of times there's work involved in it. There's work. There may be some mysteries that are hard to understand, but when it relates to what God wants us to do, it's crystal clear. We can know the truth on a matter. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Some know, think about this, some know absolutely that we cannot know. They're wishy-washy. You bring something up, well, I just don't know if this is right or that's right. And again, like we talked about this morning, we can't be neutral on things. But think about how unfair God would be to give us his word and then we couldn't understand it. Paul said that when ye read, ye may know. We can know. And our duty is crystal clear. John 7:17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So the Lord said that we can know his doctrine. There are people today saying you cannot know, you cannot understand. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But the Lord said we can know. Some people will make fun of us as the Church of Christ and say, you people think you know everything. Well, we hope we know what is in God's Word. We know what we need to do to be saved. We know that. We know with a certainty what to do to be saved. We know how to worship God. He's made it clear. We know how to live a pure and holy life. We know what the work of the church is. The problem is people get away from reading their Bible and they start talking about what some man said, or they come out of some school and they learn something new, and it's really nothing new. It's going back to apostatizing from the Word of God. God has made it clear. And you think about the wording in the Bible. Some of it is a little bit harder than others. Paul sometimes uses a lot more words than others, but most of it is written where just about anybody can understand the Bible with a little effort. You got to read it. If you can read it, you can understand it. If you can't read it, you can listen to it. There's so many people, I forget the number, but it's amazing the number of people in the world, billions and billions and billions of people that can't read. We think everybody can read. Everybody can't read. But they can listen. They can listen. And they can know God's will. And when God told Joshua what he was supposed to do, he knew it, he understood it, and he needed courage to do it. We know the work of the individual in spreading the gospel. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Joshua understood his duty, and we can understand our duty today. The will of God is clear. Problem doesn't come in understanding our duty. The problem comes in is, do we want to accept our duty? Well, another lesson that we can learn from Joshua is that we can trust in God's promises. I read back in chapter 1 all those places that talk about he would give them the land, they would possess it. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses back in Deuteronomy 11:24, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So he talks about giving it to them it shall be, and they are going to possess it. And friends, we can trust in God's promises. Whatever God promises, we can count on it if we accept it and lay hold of it. A promise can't do anybody any good if we don't lay hold of it. Now, you hear some people talk about claiming this in the name of the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's, again, God's part and our part in something. Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We can trust in that promise that we have every spiritual blessing if we are in Christ. And in verse 7 he wrote, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." We can count on that. God promised that. We can count on it. That should give us courage. But we must claim it. We must act on it. We can have access to God in prayer. We can have everlasting life. We can have so many physical blessings because we are in his family. But again, we hear stories about people dying and some relative left them a large inheritance and they never got that inheritance because they didn't know about it. They didn't know about it. Friends, we know what we have waiting for us. God has spelled it out. It's waiting for us when we do his will, when we accept him, when we follow out with courage. And we have all of this waiting for us. And then we see, it seems like we're going backwards, just becoming a little more weak each year, a little more childish. And I'm talking about society in general. We just see people trying. Someone wants to stand up and be a man. They're put down. We need courage. We need courage. God's people are people with courage. We're in a battle. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." One of the problems is when we see something, when we want something, we want it right now. God has his own timeline. It took hundreds of years for the promise to Abraham to be fulfilled, but to God, time means nothing. If he says it, it's going to happen. Well, another lesson that we learned from Joshua, we learned the assurance of God's presence. In verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you for nor forsake you." You just think about what courage that would have given Joshua. No man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And Moses, the greatest leader that they had, that everyone looked up to. And God says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Well, we don't have Moses or Joshua today, but we read in Hebrews chapter 13, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" And he said that to Joshua. He says that to us. "I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me.'" Friends, do we have that kind of courage? We ought to. We need to. You compare that with 2 Timothy, when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul says, all of my friends deserted me, but not all of them. The most important one, Christ stood with me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Friends, God did not abandon Joshua. God did not abandon Christ. God will not abandon you or me. But do we have that courage? Do we have that confidence? Or do we think, woe is me? Woe is me? We sing so many songs about God will never forsake us. God will take care of us. The song, we haven't sung this in a while, but God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when your heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you. Friends, when we have given ourselves to God, he's going to take care of us. We need to have the courage to trust him at his word. And I'm speaking to myself too. I say, sure, I know God will take care of me. And then something comes along tomorrow and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? Because Satan wants to get in to our minds. I forget who I was talking to here. It may have been you, Laura, but something that I read recently, they were talking about how does Satan get into us? He doesn't come in through the front door. He comes in through the cracks in the foundation. He comes in through the cracks, and once he gets in there, then he works on destroying that foundation. Friends, we got to keep him out. God will take care of us no matter what comes along. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We don't know everything about how God is with us, but friend, we need to remember if we are walking with him, God is with us. John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And again, back to this morning, talking about being a sent ones, as the Father sent me, I send you. And God was with the Son. He's going to be with us as he sends us out to do his will. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God's going to take care of us. Well, also from Joshua, we learn that we can have courage in God's name. He talks about be of good courage 3 or 4 times. Be very courageous. Courage, that strength of purpose, steadfastness of will. Not just steadfastness of will when things are peaceful and calm, steadfastness of will in the presence of threats and tribulations. Doesn't matter what's being thrown at us. We just let it bounce off because we've got courage. Courage in myself? Not at all. It's courage in God. We need to be steadfast, strong. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We must endure persecution. If someone kills us, so be it. What's waiting for us if we are in the Lord? If we are in the Lord, all of the toil and trouble and pain of this life, the heartache, the sickness, the death, the corruption, the unfairness that we see, that'll all be in the past. It won't even be on our minds. There'll be no more sorrow, no more tears. But people use the threat of death as a threat to control people. But to the Christian, it's just natural. It's a release. It's how we enter into the presence of God. We need to have courage. We shouldn't be afraid. Courage to stand for the Lord, for His kingdom, to stand for His word. How are we going to react to threats? Are we going to flee? Are we going to run? Are we going to keep quiet? Are we going to renounce being a Christian? Or are we going to stand? Most of us have never really been tried. Some people have gone bankrupt because of their convictions, because of their stand for Christ. They lost their money because of taking a stand. Some have lost their job because of their convictions. I can't say that I lost my job, but I know I had a lot of pressure because the jobs that I had, everybody drank. There was a lot of entertaining. And if you didn't drink, you stuck out like a sore thumb. And I stuck out like a sore thumb. So be it. We must have convictions to stand. And I'll tell it one more time. I've told this story a lot of times, but it's always stuck with me. The one company I worked for, they prided themselves on how well they could entertain customers and the restaurants they go to and the wine and the drinks, and then after that go somewhere else for more drinks. And if there is a function at a location, you're supposed to serve alcohol. And this old crusty guy, probably about my age, and I was like in my 30s, and he said, "Bruce, do you drink?" And I just looked at him and I said, "No, George, I don't drink." And he paused and he had this look on his face, and he was one of the higher ups in the company. And he said, well, don't start. And my guess is he regretted going into that trap. We've got to have courage. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and then, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We need to stand. We need to equip ourselves. We need to have courage. If we don't, Satan's going to come along and go boo, and we're going to run, or we're going to do the wrong thing. And we must be equipped to stand, and we need courage to stand. Would we stand like the early Christian martyrs that would put to death? It may come to that someday. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 27, "When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" Friends, that's the mindset we have to have. And God will take care of us. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be very strong and courageous. God will take care of us. Acts 8:1, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And you think about this, when the persecution was going on, and they left and they went back to those nations that they came from for the Passover feast, except the apostles, that would have been a dangerous place for the apostles to stay there in Jerusalem. Why did they stay? They had courage. What would we do? Back in Acts 4 and verse 1, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Persecution. Acts 15:24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at this. You got problems on the outside, the Jews against the Christians. You have Jews that have been converted to Christianity that are still fighting you, saying, well, if you want to convert these Gentiles, they must be circumcised so that they can have salvation. And it took courage. It took courage to stand against this. So the question that, didn't like something there. So the question is, do we have courage to be a Christian? Christianity isn't for cowards. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice the first one there. Those that are cowardly. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, watch, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That means grow up. Be strong. Be brave and be strong. Do we have courage to stand up to sin and say, show me book, chapter, and verse for what you want to practice? Friend, we can have courage in God. God will stand with us. It's the attitude that we have towards someone else that gives us courage. Again, I've used the example, when I was a little boy, and if I was out with my brothers, I wasn't afraid of anything, because I had five older brothers that would look out for me. Didn't matter what we did, where we went, I didn't have to worry. Friends, we have Jesus Christ who's going to look out for us. God is standing with us. God has all power and strength and might. Well, we also learn from Joshua prosperity in following God's word. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Prosperity in following God's word. Again, we see this phrase, meditate in it day and night. Like in Psalm 1, this Hebrewism, that means this is a repetitive action. It's over and over and over again. We don't just do it once. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. And friend, if we're going to prosper and succeed, we're going to have to follow the word of God. Not the books of men on how to succeed. What's our manual for success? It's the Bible, God's word. We don't deviate it from the right or the left. We listen to God's word We speak God's word. We've got a lot of Christians content to listen to God's word, but not to speak it. They want to be hearers only. We need to meditate on God's word, digest it. We need to not go to the right or to the left. We walk right down the path of God's word. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, verse 7. We didn't come here to warm a bench today. We didn't come here to be a spectator. We're here to worship God, to learn so that what God wants us to do, so that we can prosper and succeed. We're here to learn, to meditate, and go home, right? We're here to learn, to meditate, and then to do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, again, over and over. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Friends, a few lessons from Joshua. We learn our duty to God is crystal clear. We learn we can trust in God's promises. We learn the assurance of God's presence. We can have courage in God's name and prosperity in following God's word. So one last question. Do you have courage to become a Christian? Do you have courage to live the Christian life? Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, we need courage. God will give us courage. And when we follow him, when we obey him, he will make our way to prosper. He will watch over us and protect us. We long for him. He is waiting for us. And one day we will be united with him for time without end when we are obedient to him and faithful to him. Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.